In Mark chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 28. 1 through 28, chapter 1 in Mark's Gospel. And starting with verse 1, these are the words of God. They are inerrant and infallible and perfectly sufficient for us. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locust and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, "After me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in whom and you I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. They came into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And that is the word of the Lord. So here we come, the beginning of Mark's Gospel, and it may be the first Gospel ever written. It is supposed to be so by scholars today. And we'll see as we go through the Gospel of Mark that he's focusing really intently on the very close facts of the Gospel. And he's not getting into all the details. He wants to get very quickly. And you see even he uses this word over and over, immediately. Immediately this happened, immediately this happened, because he's trying to get to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that's probably why it's the shortest of the Gospels. And that's kind of how Mark writes. He's very quickly going from one point to the next. And he doesn't give us the account of Jesus' birth. He starts with the beginning of Christ's public ministry, beginning with, of course, the prophet, or the last prophet, John the Baptizer, who preceded Jesus and pointed to Jesus. And of John, the prophecy is quoted here concerning him, and he came preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. His ministry is summarized in those first 8 verses. And then we read of Jesus' baptism by John and his obedience to his Father and keeping the law of God for us, and that public ministry beginning. And you see, then also Jesus tempted by the devil, Satan. And that, of course, so we would know that he did not ever sin, and so he was the perfect sacrifice on the cross, but also to show us and give us comfort, knowing that Jesus, the righteous one, has been tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. And then Jesus began preaching the kingdom of God, that all people everywhere should repent and believe the gospel to be saved. He preached in and around Galilee, that is, in and around the Sea of Galilee. Even as he goes to Capernaum, that still in that region. We also see some of the callings of his disciples, of which all of us here are called to come and be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves. To come and follow me, he says. Come and follow Jesus. Come and follow Jesus. He is the Lord of all authority. To show this forth, not only in his preaching and teaching ministry, but to show it forth, this authority he has, how great authority he has, and that it is the authority only from God, he casts out this unclean spirit. And he shows that he is from God. You see also how that unclean spirit knows who he is. For he is that unclean spirit of the devil. He is one of the demons. And he knows who Jesus is. So Satan even believes in Jesus. Denies him, of course. But the unclean spirit says, "You are the Holy One of God." He knows. The unclean spirit obeyed the Lord Jesus because, well, he is the Lord. That's why he's cast out. And the news spreads about Jesus, about his authority, about his authoritative teaching. And beloved, it is this Jesus we must come to for our only hope. John was preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus himself being the final and forever priest and prophet and king. And so let us come unto him and worship him. Let's go to him in prayer. Our gracious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the fact that Jesus comes, has come, and he came with all authority. The authority of you, Father. The authority of God, the divine. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is not just human, does not have just a human nature, but he is also has this divine nature. And he is God and man in one person forever. Our Redeemer. And Father, he came proclaiming the kingdom of God and the forgiveness of sins, that we would turn from our sins unto you, unto him, the Lord Jesus, in repentance. That is, turning from our sin and turning unto you, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we have broken all of your commandments, even we've broke them in thought and word and deed, and we've done so even this very day, the Lord's Day. We have put and made other gods before you. We have made idols in our minds and our hearts. We have taken your name in vain, not always spoken well towards others and encouraging them and loving them in our words, but actually hating them and committing breaking the sixth commandment of murdering. And we've not upheld your word. We've not spoken as Christians ought to speak according to your word, that of giving you praise and glory all the time. Sometimes we even joke and make jokes that concern you. And yet we know they are blasphemy. Father, we have not kept the Lord's Day holy. We have thought about our work and taken part in work that we ought not to. We have thought about pleasures of this world and not served You in all things. We've broken the fifth commandment that we cover today in the sermon. We've not honored our father and mother. We've not honored our authorities and even those inferiors. We have broken the sixth, the murdering of our brothers and sisters even today, perhaps hating them or being frustrated at them in a sinful way, or in our marriages, showing bitterness towards our spouses or towards our parents. Father, we have stolen from You. We've stolen time. We've wasted it. We've been lazy. We have lied and not been as truthful as we ought to have been. Even in accordance with Your word, we've deceived others, perhaps in telling people about You. And we've coveted that which is not ours. Father, we've broken Your commandments. And Father, we plead with You that You would forgive us. And You would turn us from our sins unto You, the living and true God. We cannot do it of ourselves. That flesh is battling, and there are some here, perhaps, who don't even know You, who have been in the church a long time and yet do not believe the gospel unto salvation. And so they are in darkness and far from You. We ask that You would shine a light into the darkness and show them their sin, show us our sin, and that we would turn to You. Father, we're asking this day that You would comfort those who are struggling in their souls, in their bodies. You would strengthen us. That You would be our God and we would be Your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.